Hey everybody, and welcome back to Forging Heroes. Today we're going to be talking about the last of the four archetypes. I saved this one for last because it's the most unique of the four. It's the most open and I think almost in a way the most applicable and most helpful for most people. It's, you know, we've talked about the previous ones, the Sovereign or the King, the Magician and the Warrior. All those three are all about, in certain ways, growth and development and order and structure and finding. This one is not that. It's kind of the opposite. So the archetype we're talking about today, the last one, is the archetype of the Lover. And it's a super fascinating one. And I saved it for last because it is the most open and the most unique, but it's also the one that kind of encompasses all the rest. And this is the one I think that's the most applicable to the vast majority of people. So I want to talk a little bit about the history of this archetype and where it came to be, and actually how, because of this lack of love in our world, this is what actually led Robert Moore and Douglas Gillette to actually start studying these archetypes and start discovering the other ones we talked about. So they found that, I guess in their words, they found that we developed into a society where boys are pretending to be men. That's kind of how they put it. To put it bluntly, boys are pretending to be men. And what they found was, or they discovered and at least seemed to understand, was that society and really individual families as well, but they've kind of shaped people, or men at least, specifically men. This is kind of how they discovered it in men. There was this weakness found. Well, maybe not a weakness. It was seen as a weakness to show emotion. And there was this sort of restriction on this Lover energy. And it was these boys, really, what they said. There's not a lot of men. There were boys pretending to be men because they weren't accessing the Lover energy that allows you to feel and express and be true to yourself and accept who you are. It's this piece that's been bottled down because there's some, you know, pre-existing notion of what masculinity is. And it's so, it's interesting how it leaves out this really crucial part of being in tune with your emotions. It seems like a burden, something you don't want to have to deal with, but all the other archetypes in their fullest form, even these mighty, powerful archetypes of the King and the Magician and the Warrior, all those need to be developed in the Lover archetype as well. And I'm going to talk about what that means. So it's bigger and more, and it's beyond just a physical, a physical or romantic love. That is part of it. The Lover archetype is about being sensual and about being in tune with their feelings. It's about being touched and touching. It's about that connection with human beings. It's about that romantic connection and that love can be felt between people. That's part of it. But a bigger part of it, and the more important part, is what these guys describe with three words as vividness, aliveness, and passion. Those are the three words I use to describe the Lover archetype: vividness, aliveness, and passion. Well, and it'll make more sense as we go through this. And the reason why we bring that up as well is because that's how they've discovered that it also applies to not just men, but women as well, and how it's a part of us that we all need to tap into in a more full and realistic way. Now, the idea of the Lover archetype is that it's beyond, like I said, it's beyond the romantic love. It's about being passionate and excited for the world and what's going on, and being excited to live and to pursue something that is meaningful. It's about being accepting of yourself and these emotions that you feel. Because of this archetype is the most open, like I said before, and it's the most free and flowing. All the other archetypes are about kind of order and structure. It's about growth and development. It's about having a system to things. This one is about letting go of all that. It's about enjoying life and the pleasures of life to the fullest, just embracing every part of what goes on. It's an energy that, you know, allows someone to feel and just enjoy what's happening. That's what happens when you just enjoy what's going on and just do things because we like it, instead of feeling like we need to perform or, you know, produce something. This is when we're accessing the Lover energy. And this is why it's so important. And this is why you'll see it in so many different characters and stories. It's reflected in the people that are true to themselves. It's reflected in the characters that are passionate about what they do, whether it's work or a hobby or relationships or family, or just whatever it is. And this is why it's so applicable to everybody. Another way of accessing this sort of lover energy or archetype is just when you notice that sense of vulnerability that you kind of have, when you allow yourself to express freely, that's when you can start accessing that energy, just expressing yourself as you are without changing anything and just feeling and allowing that vulnerability to kind of possess your emotions for a minute. It's a powerful thing. Interestingly, though, there is a very, well, like all good things, there's also an opposite or a negative side effect. Robert Moore talks, he has this quote where he says, "The lover is not then only the archetype of joy or the joy of life. In his capacity to feel at one with others and with the world, he must also feel their pain. Other people may be able to avoid pain, but the one in touch with the lover must endure it. They feel the painfulness of being alive, both for themselves and others." So that's the interesting side effect of the lover, is when you tap into that energy, that excitement for life, you also feel pain. Another way of putting it is that I say that when you have the potential for a really high, there's also the potential for really extremely low lows. And that's not to like discourage you. That's not to discourage you from expressing that, but it's just something to recognize. These people who kind of manifest themselves through this archetype tend to have those mood swings, that extremity of one or the other, which doesn't necessarily, it's not necessarily good or bad. It just kind of is a side effect of accessing that energy. Now, this one is interesting. With all the previous archetypes we've talked about, there's the active shadow and the passive shadow. This one is no different, but the more important one is the passive side. Now, one thing that we didn't really discuss, it was just, there's too many levels of these archetypes, but if we kind of use that analogy of the pyramid, like we've used with the other archetypes, where the top point of the pyramid is the mature and developed version of the archetype, and the bottom poles of, or the bottom corners of the pyramid are, or the triangle, are the active and passive shadows. You have to imagine now that there's a second triangle beneath the first one, which is in the even, basically the mature archetype can only be found in adults. There's another, like the secondary triangle is kind of the childhood manifestation of these archetypes and how those even further develop. So I didn't really want to talk about those with the other ones because it gets a little bit too complicated and it gets to be a little bit too much and too psychological, but it's really fascinating stuff. But in this one, it is important to notice because on neither level is the active shadow the more dangerous one, I would say. In my opinion, the more dangerous one is the passive shadow. And this is I guess I'll explain what I mean by this. So the passive shadow on the kind of more the childhood level is what we call the dreamer. So this is where the downside of, or this is where kind of it's really important to have a strong family structure and have, you know, a place where a child can feel open and vulnerable. And this is where oftentimes, this is why a lot of heroes are born in stories, is when they have issues with family life and they have issues with expression and love, and all these things are important to development in their childhood. And this is what kind of leads them to maybe have some of the weaknesses that they do. The dreamer is one who, when deprived from love, this is someone who may slip kind of into a feeling of distance. They purposely distance themselves and they just dream of something. Like they dream of the love they want. They go ahead and just daydream and wander by themselves instead of, you know, when other people are hanging out and enjoying each other's company, the dreamer will just slip away and kind of take that moment to long for something better. And that's more of the childish way of looking at it. Not childish in a bad way, but that's just how it's manifested in maybe a more younger demographic. This dreamer kind of leads to what, it leads to them appearing withdrawn from the world. That's what the rest of everybody else says, that they look withdrawn and apart from everybody. But this leads to the true passive form of the lover archetype in kind of the more mature sense, or the adult sense, is what we call the impotent lover. In psychological terms, they call it flattened effect, or some sort of lack of aliveness and emotional expression. This is the person that feels totally cut off from not only other people, but from themselves. They don't understand themselves. They don't feel like they're connected. They don't feel like they they understand what they even want anymore. They've kind of lost that excitement from the dreamer. While the dreamer is still excited and hopeful, the impotent lover has kind of lost that excitement and lost that hope for anything better. This is the person that is, you know, finds it difficult to get out of bed because there's nothing exciting them. And it's the person that finds it difficult to fall asleep because they're so stressed. In one word, this is depression. This is not entirely. This is just a piece of it, but that is the emotion of depression. This is, in a clinical and psychological sense, this is what that means. And it's interesting to see that and how it is related to the development of people. Now, I guess the danger, as we already know, with that is in feeling cut off from yourself and from other people, is that it's very limiting. And it freezes you, right? It freezes the person and keeps them from accomplishing anything. And it's a super difficult cycle of destruction that kind of keeps going. Now, I talk about this one being the more dangerous one because the active pole or the active shadow is the addict, someone who only feels alive when being stimulated by with their physical and emotional senses when they are being overly engaged. And that's someone who is maybe not found the beauty inside, so they seek for external pleasures, and they just go crazy with it. And this is someone who just seems to be kind of bouncing off the walls. And I guess I don't think it's as dangerous in the sense that it's just a simple immaturity that kind of gets grown out. But this passive one is more of a cycle that can stay kind of possessive of a person. It can be very difficult to overcome and to kind of pass through it, so to speak. It also doesn't mean that if you're not, it could be easy to think, oh, well, I've never been like super depressed or I don't have depression, so this must not apply to me. And that's not true, because you can have different levels of maturity, right? Like the idea of the archetype is that there are different levels. You're not just good or bad. It's varying degrees of development, of maturity. So maybe that's the more extreme version of being super depressed. But further up is someone who's maybe aware of what they feel, but they're not allowing themselves to express it. They kind of swallow it. They push it down. I used to be like this. I kind of had some weird idea that I wasn't supposed to cry or wasn't supposed to be super touchy-feely or something like that. I didn't like hugs from people. I didn't like talking about stuff. If people asked me questions, I would just kind of shrug them off. And yeah, it after a while, it starts to kind of wear on you because you realize you need that openness, not only to connect with other people and to feel what they're feeling and to empathize, but also just allow yourself to feel connected and be like, huh, this is why I'm doing things that way. Those emotions contribute to the way we act, to the way we think, and the way we interact with other people. So you can start to understand yourself better when you allow those emotions to be felt and be dealt with. As I started allowing that to happen more, yeah, I was more comfortable talking to people about stuff. And even now, I find it more difficult to, like, crying isn't my natural response to things, but it is a lot more common and frequent than it used to be. A good movie will tear me up almost. Yeah, it'll tear me up really quickly. So it's fun to see, I shouldn't say fun, but it's exciting to see that as a development. And I do see, having been on both sides, it is definitely more fulfilling and good to be in tune with that side. And that is what Robert Morris and Douglas Gillette were talking about, is there's this weird idea that being tough or being a man or you know, any person feeling, oh, they just need to toughen up, that it means to be void of emotion, which is obviously not true. And that's the kind of more dangerous side. Maybe it doesn't lead necessarily to, well, I should say more dangerous. It's a dangerous part of it. That's maybe that can lead to darker cycles of depression. And everyone's kind of, I think everyone's kind of felt that to some extent. And that's exactly what the lover archetype is trying to avoid. I think that's what's exciting. The lover archetype in its fullest, or the energy that someone taps into when accessing the lover, is feeling the spontaneity of life, to be able to just kind of go with the flow of things and be excited to just live to the fullest and to enjoy what you have, even if it's good or bad. It's to be compassionate about and to share these emotions with others, be empathetic with people, and use this perspective to help other people. It's about, you know, not letting emotion feel like weight and burden, but feel like something that liberates you. There's two really fantastic movies I want to talk about that kind of touch on this. The first one is a little bit less of an obvious example, but I think it's really deep in the sense of, I'm going to compare these two movies because one, well, I guess I'll just tell you. The first movie is The Shawshank Redemption, and the second one is The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. Two of those are both two of my favorite, all-time favorite films. But they talk about the lover archetype and they show it in a really interesting way in very distinct situations, which I think is cool. So on one hand, talking about The Shawshank Redemption first, for any of those who don't know that story, it's basically a prison movie. It kind of sounds bleak, but it's a fantastic movie about the Shawshank prison, where there's a bunch of inmates there that are in there for a long, long time, and about one guy in particular who ends up kind of leading this sort of movement of kind of, in a way, accessing the lover archetype, where he's educating people, he's helping get books and kind of starting to make a library, he's teaching people, he's just trying to make the most of the experience there. He allows those moments to kind of, I don't know, be enjoyed for what they are, even though he's in a terrible spot. I think that's the beautiful aspect of that movie. And I want to talk about the themes of stoicism in that film in another episode. But that's really one of the elements of the lover, is being able to enjoy even the little bad, negative parts of life. Enjoy those for what they are. Enjoy them in the fullest. I think that's, in a nutshell, that's kind of what that movie is about. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful way of portraying that. The second one, being The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, has a different aspect where it's someone who's not in a forced situation. If you haven't seen that movie, it's about this guy who works for Life magazine and just kind of always develops photos for the people send in. And so he just kind of works in his little office and doesn't really do much. And through the course of the story, he learns to kind of embrace stuff and take action and just experience life and go down these crazy adventures and kind of seize the moment. And what's beautiful about that is, and again, he's accessing this lover part of the archetype, or this lover energy, which allows him to just be excited and feel and embrace the things going on around him, to be compassionate for people and to pursue deeper meaning in relationships and connections. And it's just a beautiful way of showing that you can seize the day kind of thing, and you can make it happen. Now, again, with both these films, it's really cool because, and now I hope you're starting to see that this is why I saved this one for last, because it encompasses all the other archetypes, right? Because using the language of seizing the day and making it happen, that's very much the warrior archetype. That's the energy of the warrior. Tapping into a sacred space of love and connection and warmth, that's very much the magician's archetype, and growing from that experience. Talking about making the best of what you have, finding fertility and blessing in maybe a bad spot of soil, that's the king archetype. That's kind of the Shawshank redemption approach of seeing how you can turn something bad into something better, right? And that's why I think it's so beautiful about the lover archetype, is that it fits all these and shows that there is a need for passionate people that are alive. Another way of looking at it is like the Renaissance man, someone who is in touch with not only the skills of a man or a woman, but also is in touch with the beautiful art and the beautiful emotion that comes from a human expression. This is culture. Society needs rules and laws and structure, absolutely, but it needs culture as well. It needs beauty, it needs art, music, it needs expression. And that's what the lover archetype and the lover energy is all about. When we allow ourselves to kind of embrace this and feel what we're feeling and recognize that it's a good thing, we can access this energy and access the pleasure and joy that comes with it. It's a fulfilling thing, and it's so cool to start recognizing in stories, and hope you've started to see that manifest itself in a lot of the heroes that you look up to. So I hope this has been helpful and seeing how this all ties in the other archetypes. I'm excited to continue discussing this, but until next time, peace out.